Hey guys, it's Rhonda Pods About Books. And I'm Rhonda. If you want to read more of my thoughts on books and reading, go to rhondabloggsaboutbooks.com. This post that I'm going to talk about today, I originally wrote on May 19th of 2018, which, if you are a very particular type of person, you might recognize as the wedding date of Harry and Meghan. And I wrote this originally planning to live blog the entire wedding. I woke up at a very, very early hour so that I could live stream it because I did the same thing for William and Kate's wedding 7 years prior. But as I was sitting and watching this live stream of Harry and Meghan's wedding at 3 a.m. in my sweatpants and tiara with tea in my Queen Elizabeth II 1977 silver jubilee mug that I got at a garage sale, I started to think more about the social and historical significance of that event that I was watching rather than just the event itself. Because I've read a lot about royalty. My typical little girl obsession with princesses never really went away. It just sort of evolved and deepened and acquired nuance, I suppose. I think royalty is fascinating, and it has evolved quite a bit over the centuries. Many people think that it's an outdated concept, that the world has moved beyond the need for these rich, gracious, and apolitical figureheads, at least what we see with the British royal family. But many others argue that monarchies, and especially constitutional monarchies, are good for a nation's culture and economy. So I'm really intrigued by these deeper questions around the political science and culture of modern monarchy and royal individuals, but I also honestly just would really like to be a princess and wear a tiara all the time. I mean, who doesn't, right? So here are just a few of my favorite books about royalty, both real and fictional. The first I have is On Royalty, nice title, by Jeremy Paxman. And this probably seems a little on the nose, but I can't ignore what is probably the definitive contemporary work on the modern British royal family. It goes through the recent history that led to its current state and its connections to and impacts on the rest of the world. Plus, it is wickedly funny, and there's a photo of the Queen wearing a hot pink coat on the cover, so what's not to love? And then next, I have Caroline Weber's Queen of Fashion. The subtitle of this book is What Marie Antoinette Wore to the Revolution, but it's really about the fashion choices that she made and that were made for her throughout her life, and how those choices affected her nation and ultimately the history of that nation. And it's such an interesting lens through which to view one of my favorite historical figures, an often misunderstood and stereotyped figure. This extremely powerful last chapter describes what she wore to her execution. Though imposed by her enemies' restrictions and her own meager resources in the concierge, Marie Antoinette's white outfit just may have been the most brilliant fashion statement of her entire career. Even before she reached the guillotine, this aspect of her history, her body, her being, had been erased, leaving her only white. Next on my list, I have Someday My Prince Will Come by Jeremy Fine. I see so much of myself in this memoir. It's actually really funny. Fine's childhood obsession with princesses and her overwhelming desire to be one mirrors my own that I had in my childhood. But she took hers way farther than I would ever dream of doing. So she actually planned the trajectory of her life and career to put herself in the path of the quote-unquote prince that she felt destined to marry to fulfill her royal destiny. And I put prince in quotation marks because the man that Fine envisioned as her royal soulmate was Peter Phillips, who is a grandson of Queen Elizabeth II, but technically he does not bear a royal title. And Fine even discusses this irony and laughs a little at herself in the epilogue. A funny, delightful book that I would recommend to anyone who just wants a good laugh, and it makes you feel good. This next one might not make you feel so good. For the first fiction title on this list, I have Erica Johansson's The Queen of the Tearling trilogy. So if you have read anything about this trilogy on the internet, you may already know that the ending of the final book really ticked off a lot of people. And I don't want to spoil anything. I mean, after all, this is a royalty post, so I'm just going to focus on the royalty aspect. But the first book of this fantasy trilogy details Princess Kelsey's struggles to claim her throne after the death of her mother and establish herself as queen within this kingdom that is quickly falling apart. So there are inevitable comparisons to A Song of Ice and Fire in discussion about the Tearling books, and I guess that's fair. Both of them do deal with political intrigue and a lot of violence in fantasy kingdoms, but what makes the Tearling books different is that they focus on one sole protagonist and her struggle to balance political power and her desire to bring more justice, more social justice to the kingdom that it has been lacking. Very highly recommend, but that third book is very polarizing. I liked it, for the record, but a lot of people didn't. But going on to another fiction title, this is a children's book. It's E.L. Konigsberg's A Proud Taste for Scarlet and Minever. So who would have thought that Eleanor of Aquitaine, a controversial 12th century duchess and queen, would make the perfect subject for a children's book? I absolutely devoured this middle grade novel when I was 10. And looking back, I can see that this was partly responsible for helping to develop my sort of pretty princess phase into a more in-depth interest in real-life royalty and the history behind it. Eleanor is a fascinating figure. There are lots of biographies on her. This is a children's book, like I said, so it kind of mellows some of the more interesting aspects of her life, but still keeps, I think, the essence of her story in place. It's appropriate for children, but I think adults will like it too. And then last on this version of the list, I have the Princess Diaries series by Meg Cabot. Is anyone surprised? I credit Meg Cabot for my middle school fantasy of discovering that I was actually the heir to the throne of a small European principality and therefore a princess. And I love that Princess Mia's struggles are just like that of an average teenager, except she also has that whole royalty thing to deal with. The movies based on these books take a pretty stark departure from the books, but I think they're still really good. And the second movie even has a royal wedding in it, which brings this full circle. So you see what I did there? I mean, I don't think people are still talking about Harry and Meghan's wedding, but when I first wrote this, I thought it was brilliant. Yeah, so that's my original list. And then I did also have a note in my original post. I noted that as I was compiling that list, I slowly realized that all the books I had chosen were very Anglo and Eurocentric. And I also noted that I intended to then research and read more books about non-white royalty, and that I may even edit the post after doing said research. So I haven't edited the original post up until now. I will edit it following this episode, so it will reflect those changes. Because since then, I have found and read, or at least added to my to-read list, a lot of great books about non-white royalty, both real and fictional. And here are a few that I found. So first, I have The 100,000 Kingdoms by N.K. Jemisin. I just checked this out from the library, and I haven't started it yet. But considering how much I loved the Broken Earth trilogy, and how much I love royalty, I'm pretty sure I am going to like this. It's the first in the Inheritance trilogy. And the back cover says, Yina Dar is an outcast from the barbarian north, but when her mother dies under mysterious circumstances, she is summoned to the majestic city of Skye. There, to her shock, Yina is named an heiress to the king. But the throne of the 100,000 kingdoms is not easily won, and Yina is thrust into a vicious power struggle. So I think this sounds like a way more intense Princess Diaries, maybe? Because she's like unexpected royalty? I don't know. But I've seen a lot of reviews of this book that say that the Inheritance trilogy isn't quite as good as the Broken Earth trilogy, or maybe not as accessible in some way. So I guess I'm kind of preparing for that. But I am going to read this right after I finish my current read, and I'm really excited. Next, I have The Star-Touched Queen by Roshani Chokshi. I absolutely devoured this book in, pretty sure, in one sitting. So it's a YA fantasy romance. I read a lot of those, inspired by Hindu myths and mythology, and it's set in sort of a proto-ancient India, which is really interesting. Maya is the main character, and she enters into an arranged marriage with the ruler of a neighboring kingdom for political reasons. And she slowly comes to get used to her position and accept her role as the queen of this nation. And she starts to grow closer to her husband, and that's where the romance kind of develops. But then she also starts to discover all of these mysterious things about her new home. And I don't want to say too much about this because I think that's part of the magic of this book, is all of the surprising things that you find out. But I really loved it a lot. It inspired me to want to learn more about Indian and Hindu mythology and folklore. And the author actually provided a great list of Hindu myths that inspired this story on her Goodreads page, or I think it might be on the Goodreads page for the book itself. There's a great list on there, so that's a great place to start if you are interested in Hindu mythology after reading this book. The next one I have is The Wrath and the Dawn by Renee Audier. Okay, so this is another YA fantasy romance. Don't at me. I like what I like. And this is a retelling of the story of Scheherazade and the Thousand and One Nights. And this is really interesting because to make this a believable romance, Adier had to basically, she had this impossible task of making the king from the original story into a likable character whose motivations for what he does are relatable or at least understandable in order to make him a believable romantic interest for the main character. And what she does with it, I think, actually works very well, and it's really believable. It's really, really well done. And there is a second book called The Rose and the Dagger, which I've also read, that completes the story, because The Wrath and the Dawn does end on a total cliffhanger. So you'll want to pick up the second book right when you finish it. But I think that The Wrath and the Dawn is a lot more memorable than the second book, but I did love both of them. So next I have The Commoner by John Burnham Schwartz. This is a historical novel based on real events, and it centers on a woman named Haruko who becomes the first non-aristocrat to marry into the Japanese imperial family in 1959. So I have not read this one yet, but it is on my list. I know next to nothing about the Japanese royal family, but definitely intriguing for sure, especially that royalty aspect. And the mid-20th century, when this book takes place and when the real events that it's based on actually happened, I think is just such an interesting time socially and culturally for a lot of the world, because there were so many social and cultural changes happening. So I'm pretty intrigued for this one to see how that plays out. And then for my last book on this list, I have Kara Cooney's The Woman Who Would Be King. So this is a fairly recent biography of Hatshepsut, the ancient Egyptian pharaoh. This book was published in 2014, I believe. And I found this when I was looking for this certain Hatshepsut biography that I read in middle school during the time when I was like super into ancient Egypt and taught myself hieroglyphics, mostly because of the 1999 movie The Mummy, because I wanted to be Evie. And I found this Hatshepsut biography in my school library, read it, loved it. I think it was a pretty like scholarly work, but I just ate it up. So recently I was looking for it again. I wasn't able to find that same one, but I did find Cooney's biography, and it was a really pleasant surprise. Cooney is an Egyptologist at UCLA, and her writing was just very readable. So even though I knew all the basics of Hatshepsut's life already, this was just a really interesting take on it. So I'd recommend it even if you're not super interested in Hatshepsut or ancient Egypt, but if you're just interested in interesting history, if you're interested in interesting things, right? I think most people are. So that's the end of my list. I did want to note I am still in search of some really good books on royal families in sub-Saharan African nations and historical empires. Like, I know Mali, for example, was the largest and richest empire in the world in the 13th century. Musa I of Mali, also known as Mansa Musa, was probably the richest man to ever live. I think it's actually confirmed that he was the richest man to ever live. So I've found a few books that mention Musa and the Mali Empire as part of kind of a greater history of that part of Africa, but I've yet to find a really good, substantial, in-depth biographical or historical work about that empire or any other in sub-Saharan Africa. So if you know of any, let me know. You can go to rondabloggsaboutbooks.com. You can also find me on Twitter at rondablogs and on Facebook, Rhonda Blogs About Books. I hope that you enjoyed this list. I will be posting links to all of the books that I mentioned in my original post. And I will have a link to that original post on the front page of the blog, at least until I write something else. So thanks for listening to Rhonda Pods About Books, and happy reading.